It's Norman Afolabi. The old guy is trying to do this modern stuff, so we'll probably flub this a few times. So just, I don't know how to do it. I'm not even sure how to turn this off, Afolabi. So we're going to be... So what we're going to talk about today is just a little bit about sourcing. There's so many people that are new to Amazon, and they're, you know, they don't know what to do. They just go to Afolabi. Afolabi.com. They just go to Alibaba and they try to source from there, and it's nice and easy, but it's not always the best place to get your product. And so what we wanted to do is just have a kind of a casual conversation and just show give a few tips on what to source and how to do it where you can save a few bucks. So Afolabi, you're the king of sourcing. Why don't you just first of all introduce yourself?
Hi everyone. So I'm excited, you know, to talk about these because I live and breathe sourcing, and we're going to be sharing some really cool stuff today. I've been sourcing for over 20 years. I love it, love it, love it. It's just, you know, I just like saving money. I like negotiations and just beating prices down until trouble starts, pretty much. So yeah, we're going to have a good time today. We're going to touch on several topics that will help you, you know, to save money. We're here to save money and supercharge our profits as we sell on Amazon or wherever you're selling. So let's do it.
Yeah, this isn't for Amazon. I mean, this is, yes, there's a lot of Amazon users that might be watching this, but it's also any type of e-com. It could mm-hmm. be anybody that needs product. So it's not necessarily mm-hmm. Amazon people. But anyways, why don't we start with sourcing?
Okay.
Okay. Most people go to Alibaba, and tell us why right off the bat. Alibaba, you're going to, and I'm not bashing Alibaba. There, it's an awesome platform where people can go and get product. Yes. But if you want to save a few dollars, like you were telling me, one of the things that blew me away is I didn't know about the profiles. So tell me a little bit about that.
Well, so when you go to sourcing websites, I mean, I love Alibaba. I mean, they've done a good job in, you know, setting up and everything. But when you get to when you're setting up on sourcing platforms, you know, you tell them, you know, how much your sales are, or how long have you been in business? Some people even use Gmail email accounts, or they use Yahoo accounts. All those things will not let you get really good suppliers. And so when you go on sourcing, looking for products, or you fill out an RFQ, the supplier will look at your profile before they even decide if they're going to answer your email. If they're going to reply your inquiry, they're going to check you out. They're going to sniff you out to see what kind of person it is. Oh, I have one person here who is selling $10 million a year, and you are a newbie, or you didn't even put your sales, yearly sales, into your profile. So they're not going to pay attention to you. If they do, they might just give you their very new sales rep to take care of you, so you wouldn't really get the good price.
That's okay, so
trusting on profile.
Yeah, with that sales rep, I mean, you're not talking about a sales rep. You're talking about a like a broker out there, a trading company, right?
Yes.
Because most of the time, at least what I found is that the factories themselves will not deal with you directly. You just don't have the volume, especially as a new Amazon seller.
Yes, even if the factory deals with you, they will give you their very low sales rep because you're not high volume enough for them. And then you're also prone to fall victim of, you know, import and export companies or trading companies that are posing as real suppliers. So your prices are going to be definitely high. And when you don't have your profile set up, or even when you have it set up the right way, trading companies pick up on you and say, oh, he's a newbie, let's pick up on this one. And they're going to give you as high price as possible, as much as they can milk you out. That's when they go, that's what they're going to give you.
So if you're new, what is high quantity? Because somebody might think 1,000 units is a high quantity. Like to get taken serious, you're talking a lot of, and depending on, yeah, depending on what you're selling, right?
A lot.
250 units or 1,000 units or 5,000 units. I mean, meeting their MOQ, which is their minimum order quantity, they're really not going to take you serious. And sometimes this is kind of leading into the tip. You could get overcharged, you know, by going through these easy to use platforms. That's why, for me anyways, a sourcing agent was always better for me. So you can save a lot of money just by finding the right sourcing agent and asking the right questions. Mm-hmm. So why don't we get into that? What do you look for, or what should people look for in a good sourcing agent? And what are some of the services that they can use, and what type of money can they save?
Oh, a lot. That's if your sourcing agent is honest with you. That's the first thing.
So what do you mean by that?
Well, sourcing agents can save you money, but do they pass the money? Do they pass the savings to you is the main problem. They can save you. They can probably save you 40%. Will they pass it to you? No. In most cases, they don't. So the first thing to ask is, you know, ask your sourcing agent, what's your fees? You know, some charge as much as 10, 15% just add onto your product cost. So you have to know their fees upfront. And I think the best way to also get a sourcing agent is to go by referral. Let somebody who has tried them and is happy with them do the referral. Because if you just go online and you're looking for sourcing agents, you're going to fall victim of fake ones or trading companies.
So if I was going out there, what would be a good price for sourcing? I've heard them all over the map. So can you give kind of a ballpark what people should look for when they're first involved with a sourcing agent?
Well, I can tell from my own experience, some sourcing agents don't charge you any money up front, but they know how to get it. You're actually going to pay dearly for it at the very end. You know, you're going to pay 10, 20, you know, sometimes 15% markup on your price of product. So let's say this sourcing agent doesn't charge me any money up front and it's doing all this work. It's not doing it for free. So at the very end, you're buying 1,000 units and each unit costs you $5 and it's added 50 cents to, you know, to your cost. By the time you're buying 10,000 units, you are losing $5,000 on every single sale that is doing. So he's making that money no matter what, he's making it. So from my own perspective, especially at Onu, we would prefer to charge a small amount first because it will cover our costs. But at the very end, we're only charging 5% markup.
Okay. So I guess it's important. One of the first tips really is to get all of those hidden costs on the table and yes. ask the agent, you know, what they are. If I'm paying $99 or if I'm paying $500 to get something sourced, you know, what are the other fees, and get the percentage, you know, up front. So the other thing I was wondering, you know, I think we should talk about is once you get a sourcing agent gets the order, then what can you expect? Like, should they get one sample, or you know, is it, how many factories do you source? Like, how do I know that I'm getting the best price?
Okay. Typically, you should have your sourcing agent do at least 3 to 5 factories so that you can, I would say 5 is good. So, you know, sometimes you can go as much as 10 because the prices are so different. That's the only way you can know what kind of prices price range you're getting. So if you get only two prices from two factories, and one is $1.50 and the other one is 95 cents, that's not so good. You know, if you get like five or even up to 10, then you can see the range of, maybe the range goes from 95 cents. Three of the prices stay at about $1.25. Four stays about $1.40. Then you know that that's the range. But you see one, if you see one of the quotes go like 75 cents, you'll be like, this is weird, you know? So I would always advise to get at least five quotes from five different factories. It will give you a better idea. And to answer your sample, I would say you collect the samples from all these five. Sometimes you can tell by just the photos. When they send you the photos, you can tell, no, this is not a good product. And then, so they send you the samples. Your sourcing agent should collect the samples and do some examination on the samples. Now, if you get samples that are not so good from a factory, it's almost impossible for that factory to make you good quality products. If the best sample they sent you is a crappy sample, I would say run really fast.
Right. From that.
You cannot make them do it better because there are different levels of factories in China. Some do make really cheapy products. Some make medium quality. Some make really high end. So if you want to make high end products, go with a high end factory. Pay a little more, or go with high end factories. If you're selling at a dollar store or you're selling a dollar product, yeah, go with the lower one. That's what I think.
Well, you know, it's interesting about the multiple factories because I know when I got started, I thought two was pretty good. You know, and I on Alibaba, I would probably reach out to four or five and I get one or two back. And then I thought, oh, this is great. You know, there's two people. And the funny part about it is, they probably went to the same factory and they were representing the same, factory. But anyways, one of the things that you can look at, and this is so important, you know, we talk about it with our clients, is that you want to not only have the quality, but out of those five or more suppliers, do they offer something different? Do they offer an add-on? Do they offer something that can stand out from what's on the marketplace today? Mm-hmm. Or if they don't, can they recommend something? Because a lot of the times you could get into simple product development that might be able to make you stand out. And then, you know, if it's a higher search volume or a more competitive price or a higher price point, you could start looking at, oh, maybe I'll just add this. It means a different mold, but you pay for the molds. But a lot of the times, the supplier can just say, hey, look, you know, try this combination, or yeah, we could do it instead of green, we can do it in black. Everybody else is green. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, those are things to look at. And then the other thing with the samples, so you're talking about consolidating samples. Mm-hmm. And if you do this properly, you can save hundreds or even thousands of dollars over a period of years, depending on how many product launches that you do. So, consolidating, getting them all in. So that's either, you know, using a sourcing agent and having it come to wherever they are in China, or it could mean going to the freight forwarder or logistics company that you're working with and getting them to consolidate and then send it off.
Send them to you. Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. And that's the difference between those are the different levels of sourcing agent. So some sourcing agent, you're just a transaction to them. They don't have time for all this product development stuff. The more you're wearing them out with your specific needs in the product, you know, they don't like you because they want you to come, they'll source the product, give you the price, you place order, they're done with you. It's like a factory, it's your transaction. But a real sourcing agent should be able to suggest other things that will make your products better. You know, if they see you're requesting for something that would not be really good for your product, they should tell you and say, well, why don't you try this? You know, this material it's been found to be a little bit problematic. Why don't you switch to a better material? Or why don't we help you do this? They go the extra mile to help you in your product development phase, you know, instead of throwing you out to the lions, because they will say, well, it's none of my business. He just wants this product. I'll get him exactly what he wanted. But a good sourcing agent should be able to help you out better. I mean, make your business successful, because if you are successful, they are also successful.
Right. And one other thing that an agent can do for you, especially right now, building that relationship with the supplier and negotiating much better terms than what somebody back in the US could possibly negotiate.
Yes.
So I think that's really important. And right off the bat, when I'm talking about negotiating price, it could be, you know, that 30% deposit, 70% when completed. I mean, that's the standard, but it could be where you're getting, you know, some slight terms, maybe 30 days or 60 or 90, but I've never found, unless you're doing huge volume, that sitting back in North America or in Europe and trying to negotiate with a factory, you'll get some leeway. But if your agent is in China and they're talking, you know, from their office to the factory, usually you can get better terms.
Yes, yes. You could get better terms, especially it works with relationship. The longer you are with this factory, the better negotiations you can get. You can even get, you know, so I've seen factories do, I've been able to negotiate even monthly payments with factory. If they see that you're really moving volume, they will work with you. You know, we've negotiated, you know, deals whereby people pay monthly as they're getting paid by Amazon or whatever. They have a payment schedule that we're sending to the factory bi-weekly or monthly. And the factory, you know, as long as you're not trying to cheat the factory, you're not trying to play some games with them, just be very, very honest and fulfill your words. You are going to have a really, really, really good business with them.
Now, all I wanted to do today was to do something a little bit different. This is the first time we're doing a Facebook Live. I did my first Instagram Live the other day. My son had to help me with everything, but hey, we did it. But what I'm trying to do here is, you know, come back. Maybe next week we'll talk about new inventory strategies, logistics. There's a variety of different things, and even dig deeper into, you know, the sourcing agent, multiple facilities, how to put together a pro forma, like a proper pro forma. It could be something like the HTS codes. On that note, and we're going to close up here, but on an HTS code, so it's a harmonized tax code. Just can you explain a little bit about how you can save money on that and what it is?
So the HTS code, the HTS means harmonized tariff system. It is the system by the U.S. Customs or even World Customs Organization. When you're bringing your goods into a country, every product is identified by this set of codes. For U.S., it's 10 digits. For other parts of the world, it's 6 digits. So it is the code that you're going to use to bring your products into the country, and they will assess the customs, the tariff you're going to pay. But what many sellers don't know is that HTS code or the HTS system is like a legal document. Two people may be importing the same products and they're paying two different tariffs. They're paying two different custom percentage. Some people are paying 25%, while I see some companies paying 5%. The difference between the two is how knowledgeable are you about HTS codes. So many times your suppliers will give you an HS code. So an HS code is different from an HTS code. The HS code is what the rest of the world uses, but the HTS is what the US uses. So sometimes your Chinese supplier will give you an HS code and you put it into the US system and it's going to spit out 30% tariff. When you're bringing in $100,000 worth of goods, that is $30,000 you have to pay to the U.S. Customs. Whereas if you let a very knowledgeable agent look at your product, understand what your product is, you might just be paying 3% or zero in most cases. So the HCS code is based on the application of your product or the materials used in your product. So if your product is a journal, right? It's a journal, but it could also be a novel, or it could also be a book, or it could also be a notebook, or so based on the uses of a product, you might find savings, you might find a better HTS code. And when you do find a better HTS code, you will be able to save a lot of money. I'm talking thousands and thousands of dollars just in rightly categorizing and using the correct HTS code for your product.
You know, I've told you this before, but I fell into this and I'm in the game. Like, I understand sourcing. And so, you know, I sell soap and it's really good soap, but I sell soap. And I was paying 17% because it's natural soap, really good natural soap. But anyways, it was 17%. And then we looked into it, and by changing the category to Castile soap, so you're not lying. The worst thing you can possibly do is to lie. Then you're going to get into trouble. Mm-hmm. But the category was Castile soap. Well, guess what? I'm paying zero now. I save 17%.
Yep.
And I know what I'm doing. I thought I knew what I was doing. But anyway, so I just wanted to end on that note, because it's always good to ask, because you might think you're getting the best price, but you're not necessarily getting the best price. And if I didn't dig into it, And I really did think that we were getting the best HTS code. Mm-hmm. It wasn't the case. So anyways, I just wanted to keep it short. I want to just, people know a few different tips about how to optimize their profits when you're sourcing. I should do, it's just full disclosure. Afolabi came to me months ago, and there are a lot of them. Maybe a year ago. And he said he was a sourcing agent. And I kind of, rolled my eyes. I've been in the business for years. I've dealt with tons of sourcing agents. And then he blew me away with what he called it. I'll show you 7 tips that you'll never hear from a sourcing agent. Anyways, he did. He blew me away. And so we partnered up. So I do want everybody to know that Afolabi is a business partner of mine. We do own a company called Hona Worldwide. So anyways, Afolabi, how do people get a hold of you?
They can go to the website, honorworldwide.com, or they can just email us at savings@honorworldwide.com.
Perfect. All right, sir. Well, thank you. And if you're looking to get a hold of me, this is my son saying this right now. Dad, talk about your social media. So at Norm Farrar, just at Norm Farrar, go to normanfarrar.com. How's that?
Did I do it better? Right?
Perfect. Okay.
Better, simple.
Now he's got to turn this bloody thing off because I don't know how to do it. There we go. I think it will end stream. Thanks. 100th, 100th, 100th.